If you're ready to take your life and business to the next level, join Brother Bedford as he brings you the most inspiring and motivating stories and lessons from today's top black millionaire entrepreneurs.
This is Brother Bedford, and I want to welcome you to this episode of Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. And I'm extremely excited today. Joining me in conversation is the inspirational and dynamic speaker, business coach, author, and entrepreneur, Mr. Ken Brown. Now, Ken helps small businesses nurture leadership from within. He helps them build sustainable and profitable enterprises, as well as recognize and leverage the tremendous opportunities that lie within their businesses. And that's just a small sampling of what Ken does. And this is really just a small portion of his bio. But there's no one better equipped to tell the story of Ken Brown better than Ken Brown. So, Ken, first I want to welcome you to the call and thank you for being a part of this and sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, your experience, and your expertise with our listeners. But I want you to tell everyone who is Ken Brown and tell them a little bit about your tremendous journey as you have become one of America's leading entrepreneurs in the African-American community.
Well, Brother Bedford, first of all, I want to thank you, Brother. It is just an honor. I'm delighted. You know, I just thank you, first of all, for this platform. You know, you're talking about being successful and entrepreneurs and coming up. You know, I believe that you can't be what you can't see. So thank you for taking the time to build this platform so people can tune in and learn clues, because I believe that success leaves clues. So, you know, it's very, very interesting. Once again, I once read something. It said, some men succeed because they are destined to, Brother Bedford, but most men succeed because they are determined to. That's my story. That's my story. I'm born a teenage parents in Chicago, Illinois, two wonderful parents who started having children at 13 and 14 years old. By the age of 20, they had five kids under the age of eight. Very, very important, though. I never forget my mother, eight or nine years old, my parents told us that either we went to college when we became 17 years old, either we went to college or we had to get out of their house. That's very powerful. You know, what they did at that point in time was that they supersized our vision. They stretched us, and all five of us wound up going to college. Me, I went to college, majored in food and nutrition, not because I was smart. I took the ACT three times, Brother Bedford. Remember, once again, most men don't succeed because they're destined to, because they're determined to. I just wanted to get out of the concrete jungle. You know, growing up, I was always taught, like most people were taught, hey, go to school, get an education, get a job. Brother Bedford, I wound up going to Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, majored in food and nutrition. People say, why? Most of my friends wanted to be doctors. They wanted to major in computer science. They wanted to be lawyers and judges. But me, you know, I just always wanted to, one thing I wanted to do, I wanted to be free. Freedom. Something about freedom. So I started doing my research, doing my due diligence, and found out food. You know, my father was a chef. My grandmother worked in the culinary department of a hotel. And so I got bit with that bug. But I started looking at it from a deeper level. How can this vocation, this calling, make me free? So I decided to major in food and nutrition because it was recession-proof. People need food, water, and shelter to live. And I said, I'm going to become a subject matter expert. Very, very important, an expert, a master, a subject matter expert in food. So I went to college, got a degree in hotel restaurant management. Never forget, once I became a senior in college, I got a degree. I was at an on-campus interview. And a guy named Rick Weber came into the room and interviewed me, and he looked at my grades, looked at my transcripts, and said, Ken Brown, when you matriculate, you got a job. Now, I was successful, Brother Bedford. I was successful. I made it.
Right.
Was a food service director for a company called ARA Services. Did that for 6 months at the highest level, first one there, last one to leave. One day I walked into my office, and a lady named Mary sat me down, had the audacity to come into my office and sit at my desk across from me and say, Ken, you got to go. I thought I was being promoted, sir. I'm like, okay, I just did it. I'm ready to go. She looked at me and said, Ken Brown, you're fired. Fired? I was absolutely devastated. But I was very excited at the same time. Now, I can be totally quiet. I'll be totally honest with you and be totally transparent with you. I cried like a baby because I felt like I was hoodwinking bamboozled. My parents told me, go to college, get a degree, and I will become successful. I never forget that company paid me $18,500. I thought I was rich. That was back in 88. I literally thought I was rich.
Right.
And Brother Bedford, let me tell you, I sat there, and I believe life is about choices, challenges, and change. I'm going to say that again. Life, success, you know, your business is about choices, challenges, and change. At that point in time, I had to make a change. I love Michael Jackson's song. It says, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. So for 30 days, I locked myself into my apartment, looked myself in the mirror every day, shut everything down, and asked myself these questions. Ken Brown, were you committed to excellence? Yes. Ken Brown, did you give your best? Yes. Ken Brown, did you operate with a standard? Did you add value every day? Yes. So at that point in time, I had to pick myself up and say, you know what? The best way to predict the future is to create it. At that point in time, guess what happened? I became an entrepreneur. I believe that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you choose to respond to it. Right then, life had dealt me a hand. Just like being born a teenage parent, being evicted 10 times, life had dealt me a hand. And I decided to throw that hand in and create my own future. That right there, that Mary, I'm looking for right now because I owe her something because she helped me birth my entrepreneur dream. At that point in time, Brother Bedford, I said, I will never, ever, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. I will never let a person, place, or thing determine my destiny. And I became an entrepreneur. It was birthed through pain. Woo, I love that. Isn't that exciting stuff?
Yes,
love
sir.
It. And so I didn't have these images. I didn't have this silver spoon. It was absolutely birthed out of pain, out of a necessity, you know, out of a desire. And I never stopped then. Went on and wound up serving tables. I would do these paid internships. Very, very important. Most people, my coaching clients, want to own a business. The first advice that I give them is first of all, you have to find someone who's in the business that you want to desire to be in, and you first serve them. To be truly great, you must first serve others. So I did that. I went to the Marriott. I went to Wendy's. I went to all these food giants, you know, in my industry. And guess what I did? I didn't go in trying to be the CEO or president. I went in to serve them so I can case out the joint. I love casing out the joint. Copy and steal everything. That makes sense? I'm watching the systems, watching the procedures, watching the people, watching the processes, taking notes diligently and planning my exit strategy. Very, very important. I planned my exit strategy everywhere I went because I would learn, I would earn, and I would move on. And in 2001, I wound up serving tables. Believe it or not, I got a degree in food and nutrition and was a manager, a sales rep for a food company, and wound up taking a part-time job on the weekends at an Italian bistro in Aurora, Illinois, and I was serving tables. I was casing the joint out. I know I wanted to own my own business, but I'm there helping this entrepreneur become successful, helping him grow his business, and a lady and a man saw me and said something different about you. That's very important. What is your unique selling proposition? They saw me. They said something different about you, Ken. What is it? But I always had a vision. I always had this crazy passion. I believe in a 5-second rule. Anyone who comes in 5 yards of you, you gotta tell them your dream. You gotta tell them your vision, because on the other side of that might be your partner, someone who can make it come true. It happened to me. She was a vice president at McDonald's, and she told me that she can make my dream come true. So to fast forward, she walked me to the bank, and I didn't have any money. Brother Bedford, that's very important. I didn't have a dime, but I had passion. I had vision. I had knowledge. I had skill. I had ability. And what she provided me was an opportunity. And she walked me to the bank, Fleet Bank of Boston. I'll never forget it. Got a letter from them one day and said, Ken Brown, we heard about you, and we want to invest in you. So they said that all I had to do was sign my name, and they would wire transfer $3 million to my bank account so I could open up two McDonald's restaurants. Now, I must say this. It's very important for the entrepreneurs out there. You know, people always focus on money. 99% of the clients always say they're stuck with money. That's not the problem. The problem is the idea. It's about your passion, your vision, your purpose. You know, the one thing that they had $3 million for me to go to my bank account, right? I had an opportunity, not a problem, I had an opportunity. I didn't have a bank account yet. So So I had to call my sister in Chicago who has just started to dabble in real estate, and she wire transferred me $200 so I can go and open up a commercial account so they can wire the $3 million to my account. How bad do you want it? So once again, I start out by saying some men succeed because they're destined to, but most men, Brother Bedford, like Ken Brown, succeed because they are determined to. Woo, I love it.
No, that's excellent, Ben. That is excellent. Now, this is such a powerful story. So many nuggets in just that short journey. Now, here it is. You've gone through all of the trials and tribulations just of life. You're going through the process of acquiring knowledge and experience and skill set, and then this great opportunity happened for you with McDonald's, or where the vice president literally walked you into the bank and helped you to get started with franchising. So obviously you had to have some challenges even after you've acquired. Now, two, not just one. I'm sure most people struggle with just one, but now you have two. So what were some of the challenges that you faced in the beginning stages of running your franchises?
Well, that's powerful you say that, because remember you said life is about choices, about nations, about challenges. The biggest challenge I had, and mind you, I lived in Chicago, Illinois. See, sometimes when opportunity comes, it's not going to come knocking at your door. You have to stretch. You have to go and grow to that opportunity. Now, can you imagine I'm a server at a restaurant, and lady said, you got to move to Michigan? Move to Michigan? I knew no one in Michigan, but I did know my dream. I knew I had a vision of becoming an entrepreneur. And so I left my family. I had to quit my job. We had just had a baby, built a brand new house on the ground. And I never forget driving up 94 to Michigan. I was absolutely terrified. But I wanted the opportunity, but I was terrified because here it is. I wanted to open up Ken's Hot Dog Stands, but here it is, McDonald's. And I never forget driving down and going into, I think it was a large freeway, and there was this building. It was a town center building, and that's where their regional offices were. And here I am by myself. Follow me. Not a lawyer, not a CPA. Me, mano y mano, Ken Brown going by himself. And this big boardroom with the big oak desk, and they have 12 people in the room. Vice president of the organization. They have their sales manager, their franchising manager, their CPA, their lawyer, and they gave me this big document, the franchise agreement, and they said, Mr. Brown, okay, who's your team? The first obstacle I had was people. You know, in business, I go into my clients' businesses, we look at the first three things we look at is people, we look at the product, we look at the processes. If those three things are in line, you're going to make profits. So my biggest thing, they said, who's your team? I had no employees. I had two restaurants with no employees. I knew no one there. Guess what I did? I called the Welfare to Work program because growing up, I was on welfare, and I knew people on welfare. All they needed and wanted and desired was an opportunity. I called the Welfare to Work program, Brother Bedford, and said, my name is Ken Brown. I'm an entrepreneur here, a new entrepreneur, budding entrepreneur. I have an opportunity. I have 160 opportunities because in a McDonald's restaurant, it takes about 60 to 70 people to run that restaurant efficiently. So I needed 160 people. I sat there. They gave me an office for an entire week. I sat there, and I put together my team from people who were on the Welfare to Work program. That was a huge obstacle, was putting together a high-performing team, building an infrastructure, going into a city that I was not familiar with. I didn't have those relationships. I had to garner and nurture all new relationships. That was a big obstacle for me. How do you trust people? Picking up a CPA. You know, the one thing, another big obstacle, Brother Bedford, I got to be totally frank with you, is that being a first-generation entrepreneur. Because most people, they weren't praying for you. They were praying on you. Not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y. So right. You hire a CPA, and they looking at all your books. They see the money you're making, and they charge you according to what you have. Whereas my Jewish and my Chaldean and my Indian and my Asian counterparts, their CPA, their lawyer, they've been in the family for generations. Right. That was a huge obstacle for me, you know, because I believe you can't be what you can't see. So I guess my biggest obstacle becoming an entrepreneur and being successful at it was that I was first generation. I didn't have a blueprint. I didn't have a model. Who can I call when you're the richest one in your group, the smartest one in your group? Who leads the leader? That was huge to me. That was absolutely huge, and it almost broke me. And real talk, that almost bankrupted me and broke me because I was so busy. And this is why I retired years later and became a coach, because I remember I was October. I never forget, and I hit the proverbial wall. I got $5 million going through the bank every year, $5 million cash, and I'm bouncing checks. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I'm bouncing checks. It wasn't because I didn't have the money. It's because I didn't have the systems in place. I didn't have the infrastructure. I'm so busy, I'm out of position. You know, as a business leader, position is very important, you know. So instead of me working on the business, Brother Beckford, guess what I was doing? I was working in the business, making fries, passing bags out, and I was thinking I was successful. But I almost lost everything, and that's when I found out about a coach. One day, got a letter from Stephen Covey Coaching saying, "Are you in over your head? Are you spinning your wheels? Are you not spending time with your family?" I said, "Absolutely yes."
Right. Those are the headlines right in the letter.
Absolutely. I said yes on all accounts, and I took a leap of faith, and I paid this gentleman $8,000 for a 6-week program. Never saw him in my life, but I can tell you honestly and unequivocally, that changed not only my personal life, but my business grew from $1.3 million to $2.8 million each one of my locations, because I then began to have someone to hold me accountable, to help me navigate through this thing called entrepreneurship. Because once again, I was a first-generation entrepreneur, and then no one looked like me. Everyone was trying to eat off of me, but no one was there to mentor and coach me. And it almost took me out of business before I started. My entrepreneur dream almost turned into a nightmare, sir.
Right. Wow. Wow. Now, you mentioned something real quick. So how did you overcome them? Would you say that was the catalyst, was to finally begin to reach out for coaching? Was that how you overcame the earlier challenges? What led you to that? I know we talked about how you were feeling, and obviously the letter came to you, and it's amazing how marketers or people who are in the marketing business can find people that really need the services. So you talked about receiving that letter. So that reaching out to the coaching, how important was that for you?
You know, that was absolutely paramount to my success. That was paramount to my legacy, because, once again, sometimes you just don't know. My friend Les Brown taught me this. He said, "Sometimes we don't know what we don't know."
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know. One thing we teach also is that, again, Michael Gerber has a wonderful book called The E-Myth, mm-hmm. The E-Myth, The Entrepreneur Myth. I was living the E-Myth. And in the book he talks about, before you become an entrepreneur, embedded into the entrepreneur is a technician. So I was very proficient at running and operating a restaurant, knew everything about it, a subject matter expert, people, profit, processes, nailed them at the highest level. However, Brother Beckford, I knew nothing about marketing, knew nothing about balance sheet, nothing about spreadsheet. So here you are, here you go, you propel into this wonderful opportunity, but you're in over your head. You don't know. So I had to really humble myself. Very, very important. I had to humble myself and yield to someone who was smarter than me. Even though in my group, my 160 employees all over Detroit, all over the region I became, people tell me, "Well, I'm successful." But I had to yield myself and humble myself to someone who had been there before, someone who can help me navigate through it. So I had to take that first step and invest in myself. Very, very important. I never forget, you know, in my business, I can invest into the people, I can invest into the equipment, but most entrepreneurs that I know and I coach, we don't understand the importance of investing into yourself. The first thing my coach taught me, guess what he said, Ken? You got to start reading. You got to start reading. Right now on my table, guess what I have? I have four books. Four books. I commit to a steady diet of investing into my mind, because as an entrepreneur, and like most of us are, I heard a research recently that said, I think 85% of the entrepreneurs are just making enough money to support their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're solopreneurs. And so with that being said, you know, you have to consistently and commit to lifelong learning. And to me, that was paramount. That was absolute paramount. I can't tell you I still have all of my numbers. I keep all my documents. I can see the time in which I started to get coaching, that I started to invest into myself, when I started to work in the business, that my business started to grow. My people got more developed. You know, I started to put infrastructure. I started to put systems in place. And when you put infrastructure and systems, impact drives income. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Impact drives income. So that was a game changer to me.
So what would be the advice, now that you've gone through that, what would you say would be the key advice that you would give to budding entrepreneurs, those who, again, are just starting out, as well as seasoned entrepreneurs? What would be the advice, the key advice that you would give them based upon those experiences that you mentioned?
That's a great question, sir. I think I got two or three things come top of my mind. First thing is commit to lifelong learning. You know, you can't out-earn me until you out-learn me. Woo, that's hot, isn't it? I'm
going to
say it again. You can't out-earn me until you out-learn me.
Right.
I really believe that entrepreneurship is about leveraging your knowledge, your skills, your ability, and your resources. So you have to, for me, I learn. I continue learning. I'm growing. I'm stretching. I'm going to tell the seminars. I say this humbly. Over the last, 13, 14 years, I've spent a quarter of $1 million on personal development, coaching, resources, just doing whatever I can do, and my business has profited because of that. The next thing I think is vitally important is you have to create a system around your product. McDonald's taught me that. I got a PhD in business from McDonald's. McDonald's took a burger and put a system around a burger. I don't care what your product is, what your service is. You want to scale it so you can sell it. Oh, my goodness. Can I say that again for you? Businesses.
You too.
Yes, one of my first coaches, and I was on the board of directors for the National Black McDonald Association, and one man, he became my mentor, my coach, and I'll never forget, he looked at me and said, Ken Brown, never fall in love with the bricks. What do you mean? This is my business. I love it. No, businesses are made to scale and prepare to sell. That was a game changer to me. Don't fall in love with the bricks. You want to find automate it, scale it. Make sure that you have systems in place so you can flip it. People say, why would you flip a McDonald's restaurant? Because I also taught you want to retire before you expire.
Right.
Everyone has a shelf life. That makes sense. And
right.
McDonald's would not sell me the brick and mortar because when I went into business, my goal was to create two businesses, Brother Bedford. I wanted to get into the real estate business, i.e., because McDonald's has the best real estate on the globe. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And so
absolutely.
I figured, okay, I'll buy the real estate, then I'll have a business on top of that. I have two streams of income. But come to find out, embedded way down inside that franchise agreement that I did not read, quite frankly, said that they do not sell the real estate. They're in the real estate business. So I didn't
right.
get mad with them. I said, wow. That's a part of their system. That's how they make money. And so now I teach entrepreneurs. I don't care what business you're in. I can show you how to automate it so you can scale it, so you can sell it. Oh, my goodness. Thirdly, I think this is vitally important, is every day I wake up and I employ entrepreneurs to do the same thing. You look for a problem. You look for a problem, and you simply offer a solution to a problem. And or help someone reduce the cost of doing business, and you will always have customers. You will always have people knocking on your door if you can do those two things. If you can offer a solution to a problem, that is how I got my opportunity to own my McDonald's restaurants, because McDonald's had a problem. They had a quality issue, they had a service issue, and they had a tremendous cleanliness issue. I offered a solution to that. We ran we had the highest levels of service, highest levels of quality food, highest levels of quality of cleanliness in the region. We offered a solution to that problem, and I made millions off of that. So those are the three things that I know that would transform and change the trajectory of any kind of business you have, is that you offer a solution to a problem. You continue to You can't out-earn me until you out-learn me. And most importantly, you create a system. And system means save yourself time, energy, and money. I'm going to say that again for you. System means save yourself time, energy, and money. Find a way to create a system around your product and service.
Man, those are profound principles there, profound. Now, you mentioned your start, and obviously you learned so much at McDonald's. Would you say, or is franchising still a viable opportunity for entrepreneurs today?
Absolutely not. And I know you're going to probably think I'm bananas for saying that. And that's a great question, sir, and I get that question often. This is what I know. Some things you believe, some things you know. I know this for a fact. If you – franchising is perfect. This is the perfect person that will operate at the highest level, that will excel in the franchise model. If you want to be your own boss, Brother Bedford, if you perform at the highest level inside of a structured, formal organization, if you follow me? If you if you can operate at the highest level, if you are a great employee, you know, and you've hit that glass ceiling, and then you have this desire to be your own boss, franchising is a perfect business opportunity for you. I'm going to say that again. It's a perfect business opportunity. What I found in my travels, coaching and teaching from Africa to Alabama is franchising is not for a true entrepreneur. Because a true entrepreneur, you find a need, you fill it. There's nothing there. You create it. That's the exciting thing about it. In McDonald's, that's why after about 10 years, I had to leave. I had to retire because I got too big for McDonald's, not from an ego, but my information, my mindset. I learned the business. I found that was not a good opportunity for me. It was a great entry for me. It was a great training ground for me. But when I really found out that I was a true entrepreneur, that entrepreneur is about, you know, when you look at entrepreneurs, think about it. You take something and you create, you take nothing and create something. Now, you know who entrepreneur was? Ray Kroc. Because in 1955, Ray Kroc was a salesman. He went to San Bernardino, California to sell a mixer that mixed 8 shakes. And he saw these entrepreneurs there, McDonald brothers, and he saw opportunity. He said, wait a minute, this is something we could take across the world. And he went to the brothers time and time again, and he created franchising from that model, a business opportunity. But I'm like Ray Kroc. I see opportunities, and I create new opportunities for people. That's the exciting thing about entrepreneurship. It's very difficult for an entrepreneur to coexist and to really excel inside that model. Now, I happen to be a great employee. I knew how to play the game, the corporate games. I knew how to build a high performing team. But it was something about my entrepreneur spirit, Brother Bedford, that I had to leave there and start Ken Brown International, start to write books, start to create programs. And it's the most amazing thing in the world. So that franchise game, it's wonderful for them because it's a turnkey operation. And if you operate within that corporate setting, that is ideal. But if you're an out-of-box thinker, if you're a strategic long-term thinker, it's not for you.
Man, that's great information, man. And you can't get that type of information except for someone who's actually been there and done that, and that's exactly what you've done. You've been in that model, and now you're outside of that model. So, yeah, I couldn't think of a better person to ask that question to, especially someone who's been a part of what most consider the number one franchise in the history of America, which is McDonald's. So for you to be there, have that experience, and now be able to take that experience and juxtapose that against being a true entrepreneur, man, that was just a profound wisdom that I believe
you just shared. You said something so powerful, but let me tell you how unbelievable, how I've studied. See, I study. I case out these large global brands because, you know, I'm first generation. So mm-hmm. I have to study and watch them and watch the processes, look at their system. Not just McDonald's. I've did some work with State Farm. I did some with Papa John's. I did some with 7-Eleven. I did work with major franchises, and most of them follow that same model. Guess who? I was blown away when I saw this. A vast majority of the franchisees in McDonald's, guess how they came in?
How was that?
As corporate employees. They hit the proverbial glass ceiling. Think about this. You become a director. I know, literally, I can, in my Rolodex right now, I have about 20 people I can call right now. They became franchisees that way. They came in as crew people, worked their way up to managers, made it to executive leadership, and then if McDonald's, the company got you making $200,000 a year, it's gangster, it's brilliant. They said, okay, we're going to take you off our payroll, and now we're going to have you work quote unquote for us. Because when I first got into franchising, I was very proud.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget a job walking to a meeting one day, and it was a veteran guy, and every time he went to a meeting, he would always say, oh, yeah, McDonald's my boss. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're the boss. We are owners.
Right.
I didn't understand that, Brother Bedford.
Right.
But now I understand most people, they work a job, and this is very important. They work a job. They get a 401k, 40 years, 30 years, take a 401k, and then they take their 401k, give it to a franchise, and they buy themselves a job.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Right.
They buy themselves a job. And so, but McDonald's, what they do, you get to this glass ceiling and you making $150,000 a year, great benefits. They say, I'm going to take you off that. You're a high performer. You've been a great steward of our company. So now we're going to give you 4 stores over in Indiana. So, I mean, that's brilliant because now you have a franchisee who knows the system, loves the system, and you're giving them an opportunity to, quote-unquote, own their own business, be their own boss. That's a win-win proposition.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. That's a brilliant model. That's why I know that's the perfect DNA of a franchisee, is someone who works well within a corporate structure. Anyone who is just has this radical, out-of-the-box, thinker, a risk taker, you won't operate well because they're going to slap your hand because it's their model. They don't want
right.
you to change the model. They want you
right.
to be able to be able to implement and execute it 100%. And entrepreneur is not about that. It's about, once again, the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Right. Wow, that's great. And I wasn't going to ask you this question, but I've been listening to you, and here it is. You just ended with that. Using that term, create it, you have to create it. But as I've been listening to you, we've been having this conversation, you've mentioned a few areas in your journey where things were not there or were not in place for you to take advantage of certain opportunities, like not having the commercial business account available. And, that didn't stop you. Your creative juices jumped in and you called your sister to wire you money, things that persons would probably just stop. You even mentioned a couple other instances where your creativity, even with the building of your team, had to kick in. So I really want to ask you about, where do you think that trait or that characteristic of creativity came from for yourself? And then tell me, what do you think is probably the most important trait or characteristic that those of us who are budding or seasoned entrepreneurs should strive to embrace and have going from this day forward?
Well, that's perfect. That's powerful. That came, to be totally transparent with you, that came from my upbringing,
mm-hmm.
Being born to teenage parents, being evicted 10 times. I remember growing up, I remember literally my mother and father just had a vision,
Mm-hmm.
We sitting there with no lights, with a candle doing homework. But my mother telling us, you know what, one day we're going to laugh at this. She was giving us the gift of vision. You know what I'm saying? Call things as be not as though they are. The most important thing that my parents gave me was money. It was two things. It was vision and understanding how to identify and take full advantage of every opportunity that comes. I never forget. Most people, parents tell them growing up, you know what? Don't take advantage of people and opportunities. My parents taught us that it's our job to take full advantage of every person who comes into our space and take advantage, full advantage of every opportunity. But never, ever, ever take a person or opportunity for granted. Woo, that was a game changer, sir. It's
right.
all about the way you think about it. And
right.
so maximize every moment. So for me, it was that desire just – another thing I got to say this very, very, very honestly is that not being afraid to fail. Most people want to talk about success, but what I've found is that success is only the byproduct of failure.
Right.
I failed my way to success. So you have to have that vision. Vision is the art of seeing the invisible, Brother Bedford. And when you can see the invisible, then you can do the impossible. Yeah. I was able to defy all odds, not because I'm better than anyone. It's because I was able to have this unwavering faith and vision. And so to answer the question about what I give you two of them. It's two things that I think every entrepreneur must have. The first one is you have to have this radical, unwavering faith in what you have, what God placed in you. It's a potential. See, when I'm speaking and teaching, all I'm looking for is, as a coach, I'm putting a demand on their potential. I know what's in there. I know what's in there. It's faith. And what do you do with faith? You water it. It grows like a muscle. You water it. So as an entrepreneur, you have to have faith because people are not going to believe in your dream. They're not going to believe in your business. And I'm telling you this, that no one has to believe in it but you. And then once you believe in it, you wake up every day, you set yourself on fire, then people pay to watch you burn. Oh, my goodness, brother. Think about it. That's what it is. You got to have this faith. People think you're crazy. But that's a good thing. As an entrepreneur, the more people think you're crazy, you're closer and closer to that eureka. That makes sense.
No, that's excellent.
My father always said, the masters are the asses, Ken. Woo! If everybody is thinking the same way, if everybody doing the same thing, then somebody's not thinking. As an entrepreneur, the most two precious resources you have is your time and your mind. Your time and your mind. I love to say, you know, don't spend major time doing minor things.
Right.
Don't spend major time with minor people. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
And so faith and vision is the most two important characteristics that entrepreneurs have. Now, you notice something quite funny? I didn't mention money. Because if you have crazy radical faith, woo! If you supersize your vision, Brother Bedford, guess what? The money is already waiting on you.
Right.
It's not magic. It's already out there. There's no shortage of money. There's shortage of faith, shortage of ideas. There's so much money out there waiting on you to have faith in it and to be able to have the audacity, to have the vision, to be able to articulate it where people catch it. I love this. The Word of God says, write the vision. Make it plain. Those who read it will run with it. It will not tarry. That's an entrepreneurial principle, ain't it? Woo!
That's beautiful.
I get excited, but I'm sorry. I get too excited.
Oh, that's great. Man, that's great, man. And here's the, and I know you're busy. I know you got a full day, but, you know, I cannot let you go. We've discussed kind of offline just these things that are really burning inside of you to take in 2015 and beyond to really help entrepreneurs and budding entrepreneurs really begin to understand a couple core principles, and I am completely in alignment with that. And I really want you to touch on the importance of coaching, and you've already seeded this conversation with all of the different relationships that you were developing as you were building your businesses. And so I really want you to touch on coaching and strategic partnerships, how valuable that's going to become in 2015 and beyond.
Brother Bedford, I thank you. Brother Bedford, I believe, I'm only one man, I believe that's the new, that's the global currency. That's the global currency. If you look at the way the world is going with Facebook, LinkedIn, that's about strategic partnerships. It's not about sitting on there and pontificating about what you eat and where you are. It's about trying to find a community of people, like-minded people, so you can build successful relationships and collaborate and build, you know, exchange resources and build businesses or partner for results. That makes sense. So in this global economy, that is viable. Quit chasing money. Quit chasing money and position yourself. Work on your product. Work on your program. And then you position yourself so you are ready to partner. Joint venture partnerships is the way of, I think, of the future. Mm-hmm. Finding people who this is how I run my business now. I stay in my lane. And so I do what I do. But I hire, I retain, I partner with people because I love what the word says. Two are better than one because if one fall down, the other's there to pick him up. And very important, a three-core strand can't easily be broken. That speaks to coaching. Everywhere in my business, when I talked about my business, the one thing that supercharged me was that partnership. Somebody saw something in me. They brought resources to the table. That got me to the next level. Then when I got to the next level, you know, I got my knowledge, skill, and ability. But what supercharged me was another relationship, a joint venture partner, or even every time I'm in transition, guess what I do? I always employ my coach because my coach is there one, two. When I sit down and tell them my vision, my mission, my strategy, then they hold me accountable. What I normally do about this time of year, we start a process called review preview. Review preview. I think every entrepreneur should employ this. What you do is you review last year. What worked? What didn't work? What processes? What people? What products worked for best for you? You review them. Then you preview. First quarter, 2015. What are we going to do? What are we going to launch? How are we going to launch it? That's vitally, vitally important. You can't do it by yourself. Then when you have a coach to help you look at it, to hold you accountable. And I can guarantee you, you're going to hit that target about 90% of the time with a coach. You're guaranteed. I got to say this humbly. I was interviewed by Ebony Magazine, August 14 issue, you know, about franchise because I've worked with different franchises across the globe. But I'm very proud. Got a call last week from the National MBA. From the person who's in charge of player development. Because, you know, one thing that we know as African Americans, those are millionaires that 5 years later they're broke. Why? Because they don't have coaching. They got a coach to show them how to play the game of basketball. They got a lawyer and who's eating off of them. But now they bring me in to guess what? To help them leverage their success, leverage their resources now so they can create business opportunities while they're still playing the game. And the name of that program is Never Take Lessons from a Coach Who Never Played the Game. Oh, my goodness, sir. Woo! I played the game and I won, Brother Bedford, I'm telling you. So in that program, what I do is I leverage my relationships, my knowledge, my skill, ability in the franchise space. I, you know, also a member of NABHOOD, the National Association of Black Hotel and Owner Developers. That is a space that we have to get in. I'm going to say this. I know we got to go, but see, I got into the food franchising. But by getting coaching, getting exposure, I found out that right now, all my clients, I'm leading them, I'm coaching them into this space. It's heads in beds. I'm writing that down. Heads in beds. Hotel space. Woo! It's brilliant. It's gangster. Mm-hmm. See, the hotel space, you can own the real estate. That's how you create generational wealth. Mm-hmm. You got to own some dirt. I believe that. Mm-hmm. You own dirt because dirt goes up and down. But then if you put a biz on top of it, so you own the dirt anywhere you want to. Also, you can have partners. In McDonald's, you couldn't have partners. Most franchises, you have to be family. So in this, you can have partners. Then the franchise, then you pick what flag you want. So if you want to do Hyatt or you want to do Marriott, you go to them. Do a feasibility study. The feasibility study tells you which one of those brands, maybe it's the Comfort Inn or it's the JW, whatever flag they think goes well in there. That space is so profitable. When the recession hit, the hotel, the heads in the hotel space, they didn't lose money buying it large. They just made less profit than they did last year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to introduce those guys to the hotel space. So they can start out maybe at a small chain, and then slowly learn the business. And by the time when they retire, then they can go into a full blown hotel space. So very, very excited about that. So I can't stress enough the importance of looking for joint venture partners, looking for strategic partners. Other small businesses, other entrepreneurs that you can leverage, or you can share resources, or you pool resources to create a project or a service. That is what's going to project us and have us doing business at the highest level in this global economy, not this solopreneur thing. Those days are over. You agree with that? They're over.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. That is excellent. This has been rich. I mean, this has been very, very rich and edifying at the same time. I mean, you're able to give such great content, but at the same time, it's easily digestible and it's motivational and inspirational at the same time. And I think that's just why you're not just a great business coach and an author and an entrepreneur, but you are really a jewel in our community.
Wow.
As it relates to being a coach and being able to convey that message to our people. So I really want to thank you so much for giving us that time today. Now, how can, and obviously it can't just stop here for those who hear this audio, how can they get in touch with you? What resources, what do they have to do to become a part of the Ken Brown International Community?
We call it the Ken Brown Experience. I think that's powerful. First of all, I would suggest that go to www.kenbrowninternational and go to the store, pick up the resources. You know, I have a client just called me from San Diego. First thing she did was she went and got every resource on my site. The book, got 3 award-winning books. I got an audio program. You know, and then after she does that, then we're going to go into my elite coaching program. That's what I recommend. First of all, get to know me. Get to know about my struggle, about my successes, my failures. I might not be the coach for you, but I want you to get to know me. Get those resources, you know, and if maybe I won't coach you, but I guarantee you one of my resources will inspire and then motivate you to keep going, because that's my goal, is to help 4 million people get free from a life they created. Guarantee you one of the resources on there will help you. And then only for the serious, serious people, Brother Bedford, I got to say this, only for the serious, serious people, if they're ready to invest in themselves, I have a year-long elite business coaching program. It's specifically for entrepreneurs. This is the same one that I'm doing with the NBA players, is that it's a year-long program. And if you're seriously serious, go there and don't go to the site. You can call me directly at 248-240-0646 and let me know that you want to get involved with the elite business coaching program. We could take 10 people at a time in this program. Or if you're not ready for that on my site, we have basic coaching programs. But if you don't employ me as a coach, get a coach, not a mentor. Mentor is great. Get a coach. Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, most people, they get a coach. Why? To help them get to that next level. You got to make that investment. That makes sense. So go to Ken Brown International. Go to the store there. Look at the videos if you like. But get one of those resources. Guarantee you. Guaranteed, no more excuses. You only going to get the results that you desire.
Yeah, this has been great, Ken. This has been great, man. I'm glad we were able to connect and get this out. And, of course, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that everyone in my community hears this when we are ready to release. This is just powerful stuff. You are such a dynamic speaker. And I just want to ask you if there's any closing words that you have for anyone who's listening. I'm sure you've said plenty, but just in case they missed something, what is it that you would like to leave our audience with?
I say this very succinctly. Tough times don't last, tough people do. Entrepreneurship is a lonely, tough space, but it's possible. I've told my story. Brother Bedford, you do a great job of putting people in front of our people to show them proof of concept. You can't be what you can't see. But I employ people. Don't quit. Don't quit. You have a gift. You have an opportunity. You have a business. You have a product or service that the world needs. And I want to end by saying this. It's so powerful. I read this. Look, it says, A great secret of success is to go through life as a man who never get used up. Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful stuff. Isn't that something? So don't quit, because you have a gift. You have a book in you. You have a business in you. You have a product or service that the world needs. And if it's going to be tough. If it was easy, everybody would be in this entrepreneurial space. Everything you need is on the side of your comfort zone. Don't get comfortable. Wake up every day and find opportunities to get uncomfortable. And I'll end by saying what Ray Kroc said. He said, when you're green, you're growing, but when you're ripe, you're rotten. Oh, my goodness.
That's excellent.
Wow.
Man. Thank you,
Thank
Ken
you,
Brown. And again, all of the resources that Ken mentioned, the website kenbrowninternational.com, that'll be listed, as well as all of the resources on how to get in touch with Ken Brown and even the books that he mentioned. We want to make sure that you are able to go and read some of those materials. Those links will be available. So again, thank all of you for listening. Once again, we thank our guest today, the dynamic Ken Brown, and we look forward to talking to you all very, very soon. So thanks a lot, Ken. Talk to you soon.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with Black millionaire entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant Black millionaire entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the key word, my brother, to 58885. Just text the keyword, my brother, to 5885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 5885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.